Good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are broadcasting live from the FLW Expo in Columbia, South Carolina, and I've got a tremendous amount of feedback in my headphones, but we'll get through it. Like I said, we're live from Columbia, and this place is packed. The air conditioning was actually out for a little while. It's back on now. It's cooling off nicely, so if you're in the Columbia area, come on out. Lots of stuff for you to do. Normally right now we'd go into a calendar of events, but instead we're going to talk to Liz Ogilvie, who is here with me from Keep America Fishing. Liz, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Roger. I really appreciate you having me on. And just so you know who I am and
yes,
your listeners know who I am, I'm Liz Ogilvie from American Sport Fishing Association. I'm the chief marketing officer, as well as the director of our advocacy grassroots program called Keep America Fishing.
Very cool. Liz and I actually met each other just a couple of short months ago in Paris, Tennessee at the high school championships.
Yes, we did. Keep America Fishing was there to see what all the action was about, and we had a great time. And I'm very excited about all the energy that's going on in the tournament world right now, especially with our younger groups. And just, again, really excited to be here at the Forest Wood Cup.
Yeah. Now, high school fishing is blowing up, absolutely blowing up. And that's where we're – but you've also got a great relationship with FLW.
We do. Keep America Fishing has a program called Pitch It, Pledge to Pitch It. It's all about the proper – use and
conservation by throwing away your trash.
Throwing away your trash, exactly. Sorry, the headphone slipped off my head. But it's all about the proper disposal of soft plastic lures. And FLW has been an amazing partner with us for a couple of years on this program now. And in the past, we've done a lot of education and awareness. But last year, at the beginning of this tournament season, they really stepped it up and did a much bigger program with us this year. And if you've ever been to an FLW tournament this season, you might have seen it. Basically, what we did was they made for us recycle bins that are 35-gallon corrugated cardboard bins that have a branded logo on it. It's bright green. You cannot miss them. It's a recycle logo with FLW Foundation on it, our Pitch It logo on it. And they're at every single FLW tournament this season. That's over 200 tournaments. And the whole idea is that all the pros, they go out fishing, they use their soft plastics, they collect them throughout the day, and they come back to the weigh-in and they dispose of their soft plastics in these bins so that they're collected in one place and then they can be taken back. Actually, the bins are all taken back to FLW headquarters in Kentucky throughout the entire season.
Right.
And they've all been, you know, massing up in this big collection of soft plastics, keeping soft plastics out of the water, and we're going to figure out how to recycle them after the cup's over.
Yeah.
And keep them out of a landfill too. So we've been really excited about this program. Again, FLW is a leader in conservation, a leader in keeping our waters clean, free of litter, and we just couldn't be happier about this program with them.
This program has some roots. It's not here in Columbia, South Carolina. It's not in the Midwest. It's actually from Maine.
That's right.
Tell us how this whole thing came about.
Well, unfortunately, the sort of habit of taking a lure that's been used and worn out, you sort of take it off to change it, and instead of putting it into a trash can, it kind of gets tossed overboard,
sure,
right? And soft plastics are biodegradable to the most part, but it's still litter, right? And they may take a little bit longer than, you know, we think they're going to take to degrade. So they're in Maine, people saw plastic sort of collecting in their ponds and their lakes and rivers, especially around docks where it's a little shallow. And some people got upset about it, rightfully. I mean, it's litter.
Sure.
And it got to the point, however, where legislators in Maine decided that they were going to ban the use and sale of soft plastic lures in the state.
Wow.
Which is huge. That's
Take a look around at all the soft plastics manufacturers right here in this hall.
Exactly. Soft plastic lures are the most widely used bait type. Over 57% of baits used are soft plastics. That would destroy our industry, because if Maine did it, what other state would be next?
California.
California. And then maybe Pennsylvania. And then,
right.
You know, it would just have this domino effect from lake to lake and state to state. And we didn't want to have that happen. So we did a lot of studies and we did a lot of research, and the whole community really did get together. It wasn't a witch hunt. Community got together to find out if this really was a problem or not. And what we decided and realized was it's an education issue. It's not a problem with the material itself. It's a habit that people have gotten into, and we just need to educate folks on how to do something different.
Sure.
So we started the Pitch It campaign. We rolled it out in Maine in about, I think it was 2015. Took off like crazy. Everyone was satisfied. Everyone was very happy with it. So we said, we got to go national, because it's not just localized.
Okay.
It wasn't, you know, just people in Maine doing this. It's everywhere.
Sure.
So we've taken it national, and we have partners just one after the other in the industry helping us, and from actual manufacturers to, you know, media, of course. State and Fish and Wildlife agencies have Pitch It information in all their, you know, state regulation guides. And it's just been a great program for us. And again, FLW has really stepped it up.
You know, I've seen those, because I was at Gunnersville at the first FLW stop.
Right.
And they were actually doing photo shoots at Gunnersville. And they were asking guys, okay, we need some plastics. So we got to go up here and take some pictures at the Pitch It thing. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
At every stop.
It's visible. You can't miss it. These
no.
bins, and you know exactly what they're for when you see them. And we've sort of gotten used to the idea of recycling our fishing tackle because of the monofilament line programs that have been going on for years. Those, you know, almost look like drain pipes,
right.
That are posted up at lakes, and people are now doing them separately for soft plastics. And you have to do them separately, actually, because soft plastic lures, you can't just throw them in your recycle bin.
No.
They're impregnated with glitter and scents
and all of
these things that you have to take care of them in a special way.
Okay.
Which is why an individual bin for them is important. And a lot of clubs are, taking them back to their clubs, and they're melting them down and recasting them and giving them away as donations to like Boys and Girls Clubs or Boy Scouts or things like that. And then other uses are to coat monofilament line, like that's the cable lining in your like Verizon cable line.
Yeah,
that can be done with soft plastic lures. I mean, it's just crazy what you can do with this stuff. But it takes a lot of effort and time to make those things happen. And the first step is to get them out of the water and to keep them out of the water.
You'd be amazed the pictures you see, especially on social media, with fish that have got parts of worms or parts of, you know, and it's a real problem.
Yeah, we don't want, I mean, these baits, they work. Why?
Because
they look real.
Because fish eat them.
Because fish eat them because they look real.
That's right.
And when they're sitting on the bottom of the lake or a pond or something, they're going to suck them up. And we don't want that.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of studies done that show that they do not kill fish.
Right.
Which is good. And if we, you know, we keep up with those studies. There are universities who are doing those studies, so we feel really good about that. But let's just not do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a cool. At Paris, Tennessee, when we met, Shimano was actually giving away stuff for kids. And you had these hordes of little kids running around the docks going, do you have any soft plastic? Do you have any? And they bring it up Shimano, and Shimano give them some things.
That's right. We have a program actually with Jackal Lures that we're doing with the other tournament series, BASS and the Bass Nation Club.
Right.
So BASS took a different route. FLW is really focusing on the pros and using them as our mentors and our peer leaders.
Okay.
And Bass Nation is doing it on the opposite side. So the Bass Nation Clubs have, there are 20 different Bass Nation state clubs that are doing programs in their state to collect soft plastics. And Jackal Lures is a partner with us on that. And every state who's participating gets $1,000 worth of Jackal soft plastics, brand new, to give away however they want. So we didn't dictate what their programs needed to be, had to fit their clubs and fit, you know, their state, however they run it, whether it's with high school clubs or college or the adults, didn't matter to us. Every club that participates, $1,000 worth of Jackal. That's a lot of soft plastic.
That's a lot of soft plastic.
Which is great. So yeah, we were really excited to have that partnership go on this season as well. That's still continuing because their season's a little bit timed differently. So we're moving mountains here, we feel like. And the number of people who know about this program and really subscribing to it. And our youth, obviously, you know, they're so conservation minded. They get it. They want to be a part of it. They want to do something good. They have service learning projects that they have to do. And and to be able to tie it back into the sport that they love to do, it's just a win-win.
Cool. That website, if you're interested in more information, PledgeToPitchIt.com.
PledgeToPitchIt.org. And what we ask everybody to do, not only just to get involved, but we ask you to take a pledge, to sign your name up. And the reason is kind of goes back to that legislative issue. If any other legislative issue pops up, we can say, we have all these people, these thousands upon thousands of people who have said, we are not doing this, not on our watch.
Right.
So that's why we ask you to take the pledge, get involved, tell us your stories. We've got a whole story section. Our social media, it's Keep America Fishing is our social media, because Pitch It is part of the Keep America Fishing. And, you know, we're promoting stuff all the time, so we're having fun with it. You can find us, of course, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and the bit.
The whole thing. We got just a minute left, and that's a program I want you to, but you've also got another program going on that, from a conservation, Pittman Robertson, Dingell Johnson, Sport Fish Restoration Act, is very important.
Yes.
And that is 60 and 60.
60 and 60. This isn't something that the public is going to see a lot. This is kind of an insider, you know, logo or moniker. 60 and 60 basically means we need and we want to get to 60 million anglers in 60 months. The clock started ticking a year ago. We were where we were at 46.2 million anglers. We're now already at 47.5, so we're on the way up, but we've got a long road to haul. And the reason that this is important isn't just because we want a whole bunch of people fishing. It's because people who fish buy a fishing license. And your fishing license is what pays for conservation. You may not know that, but fish and wildlife agencies, all of that work that they do comes from hunters and anglers and boaters. It's hunting licenses, fishing licenses, and an excise tax. It's a good tax.
Right.
An excise tax on gasoline that goes in your boat. So that money, billions of dollars, get split up by every state, and that's what goes back into our resource for everybody's use.
That's
not
right.
Just hunters and anglers and boaters.
Right.
Everybody. If you're mountain biking, if you're hiking, if you're camping, you benefit from our, you know, our promise to take care of our resource. And this is something that all of us should be really proud of, that you are a card-carrying member of conservation.
Right.
That's what that license is. And, you know, we're talking about all these kids coming in through, you know, this influx of youth coming through our high school fishing programs. When they turn 16, they've got to buy a license.
Right.
And I want them, and you want them, and we all need to want them to be really proud of that. So that's what 60 and 60 is all about. Hopefully by the end of 2021, we're seeing that 60 million number. And that just means more money for conservation.
Right.
More conservation means better fishing.
Exactly.
Yep.
Liz, man, I've had a great time getting to know you at Tennessee. We got together and had some good conversation at ICAST. Hey, we had dinner last night, and we continued the conversation right on through.
We're going to make great things happen. That's
very
what
nice.
It's all about.
I appreciate it, Liz. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Roger.
Keep in touch. I know we got some more stuff we got to talk about.
I'll be on soon, I promise.
Very good. Thanks, Liz. I'll talk to you soon. All right. Well, hang on through the break. We Going to come back. We're going to talk to Ross Self with Department of Natural Resources about what it takes on the DNR side to put on a tournament like this. Hang on through the break. More Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. What a musician we lost this week when Glenn Campbell died. I mean, he's probably one of your favorites too, Ross.
Oh, yeah. Got great memories of Glenn Campbell. All those specials on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Wichita Line.
Oh, man, yeah. Just great music. But you know, he had a long battle with Alzheimer's and all.
He sure did.
Yeah. Just lost him. But
it's a terrible thing.
It is.
That happens to folks.
Yeah. And I started to watch his Adios thing on YouTube and just couldn't do it.
Oh yeah, I don't think I could either. I don't think too many memories there. Too many great memories, great songs.
That's right.
Great entertainer.
That's right. Well, Ross, we got about 6 or 7 minutes to the bottom of the hour. Give us a second because you've never been on my show before, so this is like a first time.
Yeah.
So tell us, take a minute, tell us who you are, what you do with DNR, and let's talk about this FLW Cup and what DNR's role in all this is.
Okay. Well, I'm like you said, I'm Ross Self. I'm the chief of the freshwater fishery section. Been with the Department of Natural Resources for 32 years, almost 33. Been the chief of fisheries now for about 9 years. Prior to that, I was the assistant chief for probably 12 or 14 years. I've been working out of the Columbia office, since about 92 or 93. Prior to that, I was a district biologist out of Rock Hill, worked Wiley, Water Reef, Fishing Creek, okay. Cedar Creek, Monticello. Moved over to the Abbeville area and worked Hartwell, Russell, Thurman, Stevens Creek, along the Georgia border. So, you know, came from a background of working in the regions, working in the districts, managing fish in public waters and had a chance to come in and start doing more administrative type stuff and kind of overseeing some of the other activities across the state. And it's been good for me.
Good. Do you enjoy being on this side or did you, I guess that's a question of age. Kind of like being out there more when you were younger and now being inside the air conditioning is older.
I don't know that I could do what I used to do now. but it's kind of this paradigm shift you go through. I joke with our folks when you're in the field, you're always asking how can I get this boat? How can I study this? How can I attain this objective? And when you move to the main office, you start asking why.
Why?
Why do you need this boat? Why do you want to study that? It's been great. You know, it's a chance for me to enjoy the success of others.
Sure.
And watch our staff develop and our staff's achievements for the folks of the state and the resource that everybody cares so much about. So it's been very gratifying. It's been great for me and my family. I'm originally from Alabama.
Okay.
But I've lived in South Carolina now longer than I was in Alabama.
Well,
so I'm pretty well naturalized now.
Talking about a resource, Lake Murray. 21 pounds.
Oh, man.
And they are some healthy fish. This is not 5-pound mouths, 2-pound bodies.
No.
These are 5-pound mouths, 6-pound bodies.
Yep.
Great fishery out there.
There's some pretty fish.
What are y'all's role in this whole FLW Cup scenario?
You know, it's a harmonic convergence of fortunate circumstances, I think. You know, everybody probably remembers that maybe 9 or 10 years ago now, we went through a process of renovating or updating all the regulations dealing with freshwater fishing. We did stuff that we've been talking about doing since the 80s and finally had a chance to get it through legislatively. And we got that new regulation package in there, at the tail end of the drought.
Right.
Drought broke.
Right.
Reservoirs filled up. Had that new lake effect again.
Right.
Had this pulse of reproduction across the state and all these inland waters. And we had regulations in place to protect those young fish coming on. And I think what we're seeing here and what we're seeing other places across the state is a result of having those regulations in place and then having those environmental conditions change to allow those populations to respond and provide some protection for them to produce what we're seeing these days. It's kind of like that old Richard Petty saying, I'd rather be lucky than good any day. It was a combination of
we were lucky
good staff
and
a little
time.
Bit of luck.
So. I'm sure you have no problem working with organizations like FLW, their fish care people, live release boats and all that. Y'all just kind of here as make sure everything runs smoothly, oversee things, and just give them a pat on the back, or is it a little more in-depth than that?
Well, we have always enjoyed working with the FLW folks. They're a great group of folks, good, strong interest in conserving the resource and providing a good show, a good opportunity to highlight the fishery resources in the states where they visit. And we've always just had a great relationship with these folks and have really enjoyed hanging out with them, working with them. But, we're here. We've got some aquatic education stuff from our section here, doing some fish prints to kind of help get young folks excited about fish and interested in life history of fish.
A lot of young folks running around here.
The crowds are incredible.
Yes.
This place is eat up with folks right now. But, and then we got our general information booth with information about the state. Our law enforcement folks outside have some take one, make one, some boating simulator stuff going on outside. And then we've got staff next door at the weigh-in working backstage with FLW folks, monitoring the health of the fish. We back them up, getting the fish back to the lake in case they have an equipment problem. It's a chance for us to work with FLW to kind of highlight the fishery resources in South Carolina and help build that excitement and to recognize the anglers in the state, anglers across the country, that contribute so much to conservation through the equipment they buy,
the
federal excise taxes and stuff that's so critical to resource management across the country as well as South Carolina.
Just got through talking to Liz Ogilvie with ASA Keep America Fishing, and we talked about that same thing. These young high school kids, explosion. They're going to buy licenses. They're going to buy equipment. That's going to come back to the state DNR agencies.
Absolutely.
You guys are going to put it together to make fishing more accessible, conservation projects.
Yeah, habitat enhancement for critters. And absolutely. And, as part of that, I had a youth event out at one of our hatcheries this morning with Cody Kelly.
Yep.
And their foundation. And they had 131 kids show up to fish for catfish out in one of our ponds. Biggest group they've had at one of these youth events at one of their tour stops. So we're real excited to take that top spot. Hopefully another South Carolina personality be on the top for the weekends out, too.
We got two of them right there in the top three. It could very well happen.
Absolutely.
I've been to some of your fishing rodeos before. The sweetest sound you can hear at a fishing rodeo is some kid who's never caught a fish start screaming at the top of their lungs.
Oh, yeah.
That cork starts bobbling and goes under. I've got one.
Absolutely.
Hook for life.
Absolutely.
Ross, I know it's been short. We're going to have to come back and do this again sometime. We'll take more
time.
But I appreciate you. Opportunity was here. You were right next door.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on Woods and Water,
yes,
South Carolina.
Glad to do
and
it.
Congratulations. Great
Thank
job with our resources, fisheries. It's a thankless job, but man, y'all do a great job.
I appreciate that very much. And big shout out to the Lake Murray Country and the City of Columbia for helping make the foundation to allow this thing to come back and be here again. So it's a great day in South Carolina, as the old governor would have said.
That's exactly right. Well, you've heard it from the head of our freshwater guys. We have some great resources here in South Carolina.
I am a lineman for the county.
Great song.
And I drive the main road.
Did he really? The man to be that talented. Singer, songwriter, guitarist. One of my favorite songs is not one that he sings. It's Classical Gas. And talk about watching fingers smoke on a guitar. That's Glenn Campbell. We originally going to have another guest. I'm waiting. I think schedule conflicts have cropped up, and that's just live radio, what you have to deal with. So we'll get it taken care of. But let me tell you a little bit about what's happened down here this week. You heard me say something about 21 pounds. Was out on the lake most of the day yesterday. Had a media boat from FLW, and they do a great job taking care of me. Joe Apogger and Brian Johnson. I need to go out on the water. They set me up with somebody, and yesterday it was another University of South Carolina angler, Hunter Bice. Sophomore on the fishing team, had a great day. He drives a Bullet. Literally, that's the name of the boat, for those of you who don't know. And it flies. 250 horsepower on the back of it. And I think the boat weighs about 1,600 pounds. So do that calculation. And at times we were having to slow down to stay behind Anthony Gagliardi, Brandon Cobb, who the two anglers from South Carolina that I've been following. So anyway, get out in the morning. The launches, which will happen tomorrow, will be Championship Sunday. Only be 10. The past 2 days have been 50 anglers. Friday, 50 anglers today. But tomorrow morning, just like the last 2 mornings, I'll be at the ramp about 5:30. Free donuts, Folgers coffee if you're a coffee drinker. Then you have FLW Live going on. Angler interviews. The last couple days, it's been a lot of Brandon Cobb, a lot of Anthony Gagliardi. Get out on the water and you just watch them fish, which to people listening to the show thinking you spend your time out on Lake Murray in the 104-degree real field temps watching somebody fish. But once you get into this and on the media side, you get invested with relationships with these anglers. They're not just people you have seen on the TV anymore. They're friends. You laugh. You talk a little bit about fishing, but you talk a lot of other things, too. You get to know them. So when you're out there, you're not thinking about just them fishing. You're thinking about friends, family, and what could be. We're talking right now, if I can get to it. The current standings are Justin Atkins, who is actually Brandon Cobb's traveling roommate out on tour, is in first place with, well, he had 21.5 pounds yesterday. And going into this, I came to practice with Brandon and Anthony when media could ride around with them. And they were saying, you know, 15 pounds, 16 pounds would be a big bag. Maybe somebody would have a 20-pound bag one day. And in a three-day shortened format like we had this year, they could just ride that to the end and win this thing. Well, if you watched yesterday or you've gone to FLW Fishing and you've seen, there were two bags of 21 pounds. That's five fish. So Justin Atkins had 21.5 pounds. Anthony had 21.06. Brandon Cobb had 19.75. Travis Fox, 18.8. In the history of the FLW Cup, there have been seven bags over 20 pounds. Four of those bags have come from Lake Murray. Two in 2014, which is the last time the Cup was here, and then two yesterday. Now, the bags haven't been as big. Yesterday, you know, it was very cloudy, foggy, on up until 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. So the fish were active for a lot of people longer than they normally would be. And that's why you had those big bags. Now, weights today are down 15.5, 15.5, 16.75, 15, 15.25. So the bags are back where everybody thought they would be for everyone. And it's funny who you see. Here's Chris Blanchett from the University of South Carolina just walked by. How are you, sir? It's fun coming to these things and seeing people like this. Chris was, yeah, you're all fishing what series? The Southern Opens. And I think your boat is actually in the shop right now, isn't it? Boat, break out another 1,000.
That's right.
Another 17,000 in this case. Good to see you, man. So the weights are back where they are. Should be. But things are going to be tight tomorrow. But anyway, you're out there on the water. You're watching them fish. You got spectator boats. And if you're going to come out and watch a tournament, whether it's here at the FLW Cup, it's at a tour stop, it's a wherever you go that the professionals are fishing, give them plenty of room. Yesterday, you know, people are excited. Anthony's a hometown guy. But you had a little boat problems and all because you had several people who wanted to get closer to the action than they really should have been, which interferes with his ability to fish. Remember, schooling fish bite, it's more like hunting. Remember, you heard this in our interview. They need to listen 360, see 360, and can cast or get on that trolling motor and go 50 yards in any direction chasing those schooling fish because the fish are schooling underneath and running those shad up to the surface. and that's a Anthony's strong points. Brandon has done a tremendous job of it this week. So he had some boat problems, had some guys getting too close, following too close on the water, which is just boat management. Went into, he was moving one time, and this one particular boat was seemed to be always too close. And instead of just dropping the boat, Anthony kind of slowed, let it run down, and this guy wasn't paying attention. Almost ran over the back of Anthony, had to swerve around, ended up in front of it where Anthony was wanting to fish. So when you're out in there, be very careful. Be aware. These guys are under pressure. They're fishing for $300,000 on a tournament stop. They're paying for $125,000. Give them plenty of room. So this morning I had to play a little bit of a policeman. Anthony asked me yesterday, he said, if you're out there in the morning, would you go around and talk to some of the people at the gallery, get everybody to stay well back? And so I did that this morning very nicely. It's a well-behaved gallery up until I left at 11 o'clock. And he, but again, they want you out there. You know, they need people looking at them and involved, supporting them. Because it gets tough out there. It's 100 degrees and you're fishing and not catching anything. Having some people around you looking and knowing that, hey, they want you to catch fish and win, it means a lot to these guys. So anyway, out there watching the fish, managing some boat traffic, and then going to the weigh-ins, it's all great. I wanted to go over a little bit of what's going to happen tomorrow here. If you're still in the Columbia area, it's 3:42. The expo is open till 4:30. The doors to the Colonial Life Arena open at 4 o'clock tomorrow, I mean tonight. And weigh-in starts at 5. You can stop by, catch a little of the expo. Lots of stuff in here, lots of free gifts, stuff you can buy. Weigh-in tonight, but starting tomorrow, you can go out to Drear Island State Park. You know what? I think I'm going to wait. I've got what? 3 minutes. Oh, there's. Yeah, let's wait on that. Let's wait on that. Let's go back over to weights. But that's my next guest. Who's supposed to be at the bottom of the hour. She goes, I'm late. I'm sorry. That's what happens when you're here and it's live ready. You deal with it, which is why we're talking about weights. Now I'm kind of lost my own track. Okay. 2 minutes. I don't know where to go. All right, this afternoon. It's going to be fun. You can watch live, if you're not in Columbia, oh, my phone must be going off. I'm sorry. This is live radio, people. Weigh-in tonight. You can watch it on flwfishing.com. It'll start about 4:45 or so. Weigh-in takes about an hour and a half. It's 53 anglers tonight. Tomorrow, tonight, they will cut to the top 10, which will be the only people that will fish tomorrow. And it's more of my DNR friends. So the top 10 tomorrow, as it stands right now, and they go through, it would be Justin Atkins, Anthony Gagliardi from Prosperity, South Carolina, Brandon Cobb from Greenwood. Those are 1, 2, and 3. Scott Martin's a notable at number 5. Brian Thrift from Shelby, North Carolina, sits in 7th at the moment. And Wesley Strader from Tennessee is in there. You'd have, and Austin Felix, here's a good one for you. Austin Felix in 2014 was a collegiate angler who's gone on to make the FLW Tour. And now he's fishing in the FLW Cup as a pro. He was a collegiate pro in 2014. And he was teammates to Chris Bergen, who Chris Bergen now actually works for FLW. I see him at every stop. So for those of you in the high school, college scenes, you can go on and either be an angler or you can work in the industry, which is really cool and still be around all of it. There's the music. Hang on through the break. We'll be back. Melinda Hayes has joined me from Costa Sunglasses. And we're going to have a great time the last segment of the show. So stay on for more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
If you see your
Woods in Water, South Carolina. I hope you've enjoyed the bumper music today, courtesy of Dave Nichols back at the station. I asked him earlier this week, I said, do you think he can come up with some Glenn Campbell bumper music? And he magically worked his skills, and there you have it, Glenn Campbell. I had to work the other night, so I found 3 hours worth of Glenn Campbell on YouTube between two separate things, and I watched Glenn Campbell while I worked for like 3 hours.
I'm a Glenn Campbell fan. You know, I'm from Arkansas, so.
That's right, people. You are from Arkansas.
Yeah. Not very far from there, so he grew up, I think, in Delight.
I think so, somewhere around there. What a great generational. There are so many musicians that we are losing here that just, it doesn't matter whether you're 16, 50, you know the music.
Oh, I believe it wholeheartedly. You know, and his song, God Bless the USA, will always have an impact on my life because I was in the military.
Yeah.
I went to basic the week after September 11th.
Wow.
They played that song every other song the whole time we ran for 2 hours every morning. So I permanently will always remember him.
Well, we have Melinda Hayes, Costa Sunglasses, the best sunglasses on the market.
So.
I've worn them for like 18 years now.
I love that. You know, our company is only 34 years old, so you're not too far off from like having the whole legacy.
That's right. I wore Ray-Bans before that.
Oh, shut up.
The aviators.
We don't say those words, you know.
I can say that.
We don't talk about that.
But I did. Seriously, when I started saltwater fishing, they were hands down the best ones out there. And those were the old 480s.
Right.
You know, now we're into the 580s.
You know, I wore Costas before I ever came to work at Costas. And that's why I wanted to work at Costas, because I believed in the product. I mean, I never believed that they would want me, but I'm thankful that they did.
I think you're a great asset to the company.
That's what I tell them every day.
And you get to work some great guys. I mean, I have to throw out the fact Casey Ashley, even though he's on the dark side of the tournament series with Bass, is a South Carolina native.
He is, you know, and he's an amazing person. I want to clone him every single day. He's just good people. It emanates from him. People just surround themselves to that. He sings. He's good looking.
Oh, yeah.
He'll do anything for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the Ken Barbie of bass fishing.
And what was so funny when he was singing at ICAST and people started bringing over tips and putting in his cup.
A lot of money. $100 tips.
Yeah. He was absolutely mortified.
Oh, he was. He was like, take that money back.
Okay.
He's like, I'm not taking off my clothes. Take that money back.
Okay. Costa Sunglasses. Casey actually did a 2-minute video for me that I put up, and I just asked him about two of his favorites. One was the green mirror lens. Mm-hmm. And then one was the new Sunrise Mirror?
Sunrise Silver. It's been absolutely groundbreaking for the company this year. You know, we had a Sunrise lens before.
Right.
But we were like, it's not the best. So they revamped it and really went to work on it. And now we launched this Sunrise Silver this year. 30% light transmission. It is the biggest amount of light transmission in a polarized lens on the market. So what does that mean, light transmission? We talk about that all the time. Exactly. It means that you're going to have color pops and color contrasts. And so low light conditions, it's going to really make colors stand out, where you're adding more sunlight to your day. Where it's dark and other guys can't see, you can. And so it's been huge. You know, Brian Thrift, Casey Ashley, Todd Castledine, Matt Airy, guys that have been immensely successful this year have been wearing solely that.
Yep.
So, and you know, people think of it as a low light lens because it's a yellow base.
Right.
You know, people think of that as a shooting lens or a start or it's rainy. No.
It's a contrast lens.
Yeah, it is. And so people have figured out that it's blocking all the harmful rays, so because that's what 580s do, and that's what makes them the amazing lens. It's allowing your eyes to relax and you're able to wear them all day because your eyes literally adjust with them. So you can pick out wee beds, you can see bedding fish, you can see just stumps mm-hmm. in murkier water. So it's just been really incredible for these guys.
And an orange clay thrown from a trap pops with that
amazing.
Yellow lens.
It is amazing what those color pops do. Mm-hmm. And you've got to think that that green bass is actually going to stand out so much more. It does. It really does.
It does.
It's amazing.
I was in the boat with Casey.
Yeah.
And he changed out glasses and he said, "See those fish?" And I'm like, and I had these on. These are 580s.
Yeah.
And I was looking going, "Yeah, I think I see one." He goes, "Well, there's two of them right there." I'm like, "No way." And he goes, "Right there." And as soon as he moved the boat, I could see him. But he was at a worse angle than I was and he could see him.
Oh, yeah. It makes that big of a difference. And, you know, we had guys testing it for 6 months before we let them out, and they were winning or making top tens. And I was like, "Are y'all using that lens?" They said all day long. And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." So we knew it was going to be good before it came out on the market. Then it came out on the market, and the demand has been so great. It's been hard to keep in stock, which we know why. I mean, it's been incredible. It's been the missing tool in the tackle box.
Okay. But shooters have known about it for years. Back when I shot sporting clays in the 80s and 90s, you had yellow lens.
Yes.
And like I said, an orange top clay coming off with that yellow lens, it actually glows.
It's
amazing what a lens will do.
It is, you know, and just those different color changes, what it allows you to see that you didn't even think was possible.
Yeah. A lot of people have questions. Plastic, or I guess they're polycarbonate now.
Right.
Or glass. What are the differences from a sunglass standpoint with those two lenses? What are you giving or giving up with either one?
Well, that is one of the most important questions. You know, besides fit, you want to know polycarbonate or glass. And there are pluses and minuses to each.
Okay.
Both are amazing.
All right.
But plastic, more impact resistant.
Okay.
So if you are going to be hunting in them, or if you're flipping an ounce and a half weight.
Oh, punching and you pull that thing back and it flies through the boat.
Exactly.
Yes.
You might want to switch to poly because it is more impact resistant.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, our glass is as well. So our glass will shatter like a windshield because our mirror is encapsulated in it. And so that actually keeps the shards of glass intact. So people are always concerned about that. But you just know they're both impact resistant, but the poly is more so.
Okay.
The poly is also lighter. But what you're giving up with poly is glass is clear. You know, that's just the nature of glass. And so if you are a diehard angler, most people are going to wear glass.
Okay.
But one other thing I'll mention is glass is heavier.
Right.
So if you're super sensitive, you get headaches easy, you might want to look at a poly.
Okay.
So those are some key things. So just think about poly is lighter, more impact resistant. And another thing is glass won't scratch either. So I should have mentioned that. That's huge. Because I'm a girl. I throw my glasses in the seat. I throw them in my purse. I put them in my baby's diapers bag, you know. I misuse them. And you can literally take a key, scratch on our lens, and it won't scratch. On our glass one. On our poly, it will.
It'll scratch.
So just know that, you know, you're going to get heavier, but they are clearer and they won't scratch.
A lot of people don't think of sunglasses as eye protection. They think about it from the sun. You know, you protect your eyes from harmful UV rays and all that.
Right.
But they don't think about in a regular sunglasses like this, when you're punching a weight and that weight comes back at you. That's eye protection.
Oh,
and you
I
don't
cannot
think about that
tell
a lot.
You how many people have been affected by that. You know, a lady who's like my grandma, she cannot see out of one eye because of a bullet weight flipping. And so I get emails constantly of pictures of where COSIS saved my eye. They might have even saved my life. And, you know, one of them was flipping an ounce halfway, and he showed me the pictures and how the glass kept it all together. It was amazing, you know. And so without that, you got to think of running down the lake too.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs. Holy moly. You know, anything, wind blowing, any of that.
Yeah. You just never know. That's my stop. I think I want to buy a pair of coasters.
I know. I think so. See, I mean, we're talking about all the great things about it.
Yeah. you got a minute left or so. Seamates and prescription lenses through Costa. Real
yeah,
quick,
a lot of people don't realize that we actually make prescription lenses. So
right.
90% of the glasses that we make can have your prescription in them.
Okay.
And you can have the same technology as anybody else.
All right.
Seamates. So think about whenever you're getting around 40 and you can't see to tie your eye. So, yeah, or 50. Sorry, my bad. So, we have Seamates, so they're bifocals. So we have 1.5, 2, and 2.5 choices to go right back down in the bottom of your 580 lenses. So you're going to get the same technology as the rest of the anglers out there and actually be able to see to tie your hook on.
Cool. There you have it, Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melinda, so much.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Get out there and buy a pair of those new Horizons. They're awesome. There again, it's a quick show, man. It just amazes me. If you're going to be in Columbia tomorrow, you need to make a trip down here. 5:45 in the morning starts all the takeoff stuff. 7 o'clock is blast off for the top 10 that will get paired down tonight at the weigh-in, which starts here in just a little over an hour. The expo is open starting at 10 o'clock. That's the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center. Free rods and reels by WLTX to the first 500 kids, 14 and under. Bass and barbecue again from 10 to 4:30 tomorrow. Boating safety, Hank Parker's going to be around. Forrest Wood's going to be around. Jimmy Houston's going to be here. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And the great thing about this, everything except the barbecue is free. Tomorrow afternoon, weigh in at 5. Easton Corbin concert from 4 to 5. So as always, thank you for tuning in to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thank you to my guests. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. See you next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.